My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today on a Monday is the director and head coach of Team Thad. Of course, it is the Nike EYBL program. He's on X. He's on Twitter, at DreamBigHerd. Norton Herd, good day, sir.
Great day. Great day. A lot of great sports.
You know, when you were sitting in here this summer and we were just kind of looking at the schedule and we're thinking, you know, what would be the best moments of the season? And we threw up a toss up. Would you rather win the league or beat Florida State? Well, now it turns out they can do both. So we'll start there. It's Monday, so we'll do our overreaction Mondays. We'll start with the big Tiger win over Florida State on Saturday down in Tallahassee. Jason Munn's going to also join us about 2:40, get his thoughts on just what the decision could be in front of Tigers, as perhaps an invitation to the Pac-12 could be there. Herd and I are going to talk about that as well, but I want to kind of get his thoughts on what all would have to be considered with that. We'll get into the list. We've had some starting quarterback changes, including the Carolina Panthers making a change. We have the MTSU game time set for the Tigers. Also, a couple of other quarterback changes. We'll get into that. Then we'll also get into some Week 2 NFL, because it was kind of a nuts. At least Sunday felt nuts to me, particularly that early window. And this was one of those early windows where we had like 10 games going on at once. And keeping track with everything, just it felt like there was a lot going on. So we want to get into that. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But let's start first, Herd, with what we saw on Saturday. And I'll go first with my overreaction. You can tell me how you, if you agree, disagree, if you're feeling it or not. But my first overreaction from that win on Saturday against the Tigers, knock off Florida State 20-12. Also, they are the first in others receiving votes from the AP poll, and then they moved up to 23 in the coaches poll. But my big overreaction was Saturday was the day that I think Ryan Silverfield became the Memphis football coach for the fan base.
I agree. I don't think it's an overreaction. I agree to it, because I think we've been supporting him. I think last year he got love, but I don't feel like, I think because Florida State was doing so good, you know what I'm saying, Norvell.
It did not help.
Yeah, it didn't help. I feel like
When you watch your ex-girlfriend thriving like that, you're like,
yeah, I do wish her well, but not that well.
Yeah.
And so I think.
Wouldn't 10 and 2 be enough? Like, you know.
Yeah. I think that you're right on with that because, like you said, I think when we sign, to me, now from the outside looking in, like from a casual fan, not just even a diehard fan, which we might be. I try to look at it from both standpoints. I think nationally and locally, people got excited about Memphis, as crazy as it sounds, when they signed Antoine.
Yep.
Y'all don't realize, like, I know people who don't into football who was asking me questions about that.
Yep.
Or not into. And then the Florida State win, I see so many pictures of him now before throwing up the big M, the Memphis with his hand. You know, Memphis people like that. We like the Memphis, the urban, the things like that. So, no, I'm with you. I think he has the full fan support now. I think he been had it, but I think he's almost at 100% right now. I think everybody's excited.
Yeah, it felt like the bowl game really helped last year because even though the record was good at 9-3, there was still kind of it was your first year in the league without Cincinnati, without UCF, without Houston. So you got into two big games, the Tulane game and the SMU game, and you come up short in both. And I think everyone's kind of looking around going like, oh, are we okay? I mean, it's better than what it could have been. It's better than another 6-6 year. But the bowl game felt like the first moment where the tides really started to turn. And it helped, I think, also that the bowl game was here. The fact that it could essentially be a home game, if you will, great crowd. Everybody got to see a big win. And then it flips into, they did a good job of keeping Seth, let's be real. Like, you get your quarterback back, you had some success on the recruiting trail, then you parlay it into Antoine, completely agree with you on that, and then you start to get the FedEx money rolling in, and now I felt like the last thing for him was he needed to have a game where everybody bought into, all right, go win a big game. And yeah, there have been a few big wins, but like, you had the Mississippi State win, which was a fun day, but like, it's kind of like a, you know, you had the weird punt return. It was kind of a weird, fluky game. And then you compile that with the very next week, they turn around and they blow a lead to UTSA, and then you're just kind of like net neutral. And so you didn't really build off of that. And he had a UCF win with Brady, but that kind of felt like Brady's big moment, like, you know, like, lifetime achievement moment that he earned more so than Ryan's. But I thought the thing that was important on Saturday is when you were watching the game, one team looked superiorly better coached. One team looked like they came in to win the game. The other team was making sloppy mistakes. Like, you couldn't really tell whether or not they wanted to be there, but like, you could specifically point to like, this team looks better coached. And I think that was huge. And I think that when you start to stack it with everything else that's been happening over the last 9 months, I think now you've hit the moment where you're like, where everyone's kind of bought in for the most part.
No, I'm with you. Like you said, they look so prepared. They look crisp.
Yeah.
The funny thing about sports in the media, you know how we get on teams for not looking good. Florida State just not playing good ball. I'm sure that he practiced. He's the same guy who practice them way every week, so I don't think it's...
No, but, like, it's funny that you say that because like, we know how Mike prepares teams. Mm. But I'm sitting there thinking the entire time I'm watching the game, it's like, do they even practice? And it's like, yes, of course they do. But like at the same time, it's like, they don't get lined up right. Like they were just so sloppy. And you're sitting there going, because I had told people... You get asked, how do you think it's going to go? How do you think it's going to go? And I was being honest. I'm like, I have no idea because I knew Memphis would show up, but I didn't know. In the back of my mind, there's this thought of, could Florida State have that week off, get everybody bought back in, come out and use that as the old get right spot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure. But at the same time, it's like, well, we hadn't really seen that. Like, I don't really know how good this Florida State team is. But when you saw very quickly the fumble on the, was it second play of the game?
No, like the first. Well, by the time looked at it, it was my first play. It might have been the second play.
Yeah, I mean, if you were not glued to the TV from the, because they did the thing where game day ran long, and game day was flipping over to South Carolina, and so if you're watching ESPN, it went from game day to like kickoff of the floor, and so then it's like kickoff through the end zone. I think it was literally the second play of the game, fumble, but like pads were, one team was clearly coming out like pads popping, like, and it was noticeable from the beginning. And then, you know, as the game just wore on, like, the other big question I have is, would Memphis be able defensively to use the same game plan that we saw Georgia Tech and we saw Boston College, which was, hey, man, let's take away the run and let's see if DJ can beat us. And very quickly it was like, oh, they can do it. Now, at times I thought Florida State's defensive line played really well and gave Memphis a lot of problems. But the other thing that really stood out is like the team that won just had, not only did they look better coached, they had the better quarterback by a long shot.
For sure.
And I also think, Jeffrey, this is not being a hometown favorite saying this. I really think that we could have won by more. I also feel like at some point, once Memphis got the lead and we kind of felt like we're better than them, I feel like we kind of was just stagnant to a point. No, seriously.
I totally agree.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, like, I think it, you
it's
know.
Like, we don't want to make it look like we just 40 points better than the ACC team, but I feel like it, I mean, that's how bad Florida State, and I'm a big Norvell, when I say fan, I'm just a big guy of any coach, because I'm a coach that I feel prepares the right way. But on the flip side, like when we get on certain coaches here, what I do know too is sometime a team can be in a slump or a funk that a practice week or two cannot help.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
100% agree.
It might need season-ending surgery for what needs to get fixed at times. And I think that's what Florida State is in right now.
I think you're 100% right, because also, again, I'm not saying like, oh, Memphis could have, you know, put 40 on them. But it became very obvious, particularly once – so Memphis gets the opening field goal. They turn the turnover into a field goal. They don't get seven, but okay, they get a field goal. When they got – the touchdown to make it a two-score game, and you realized how difficult it was for Florida State to move the football.
Yeah.
I definitely think that there was like a, hey guys, like let's not put the ball in jeopardy. Let's control some clock, and we're going to make them have to earn this. And Florida State just couldn't do it. And I think you're right. Cause I think the other thing that we fall into this trap, and I don't cry for them because they are extremely well paid. But anyone that's been on good teams knows usually the best teams you play on have the best leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have, and like, I look at Florida State, and it's like, I don't know, who are their leaders? I mean, you're bringing in your quarterback. You bring in your quarterback who's on his third school. And like, my thing with DJ is like, I think there's this idea that DJ is their only problem. And I just, when I watch that team, like, they have way more problems than just DJ. I'm not excusing him. He's not played well either. But, you know, you look at him on defense. Every time it got to third down, it was almost like Memphis didn't care. It's like, cool. We'll pick on these linebackers. We'll get some guys in space. We'll move the chains, and we'll keep this drive going. But, I mean, that's kind of the question you have if you're Florida State. It's like, what is the fix? Because I'm with you. I don't think this thing's getting fixed this year.
No, just like you said, and with the quarterback situation, it's like they're daring him to. I haven't seen anything like this from a high major, and I think that kid, for him to come to Florida State, I haven't did a lot of his background. He has to had a pretty good college career up to this point, right?
So he was highly regarded and went to Clemson. So he was like a five star guy. Went to Clemson. This was the COVID year. Trevor got COVID. And he had to step in and play against Notre Dame. And Notre Dame basically kind of gave us the blueprint for what we would see other teams start to do. But Notre Dame just blitzed the hell out of him. And so this is when Clemson still had big-time receivers. So it was just man-to-man. All he did was like pick a side and just chunk it up. And he put up massive numbers.
I remember that guy, yeah.
And now Notre Dame still won the game, but he had a good day. Like, they got beat, but you weren't really going, oh, that was his fault. Well, the next year he takes over as the starting quarterback, and they start to lose some games. Then it's very obvious, like, oh, this guy's not Trevor, and he's not Deshaun. But there were still people that are like, he's a pretty good player. they end up winning the ACC, but it's just kind of, it was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And one year they bring in a guy named Cade Klubnik, who's the quarterback now out of Texas, and they started doing the old rotation thing. And then he just ends up transferring to Oregon State last year. And Oregon State did a really good job with him because they had a very good run game.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of, it was run game, play action, like, here, you're throwing to this guy, and he had a pretty good year. And now, like, that's the other thing with Florida State. It's like, they did pretty well in the portal, but they got a lot of guys that were one-year guys, and they weren't playing on good teams. And so that becomes the crapshoot of, well, were they not playing because somebody was great in front of them, and they just couldn't crack the field, or were they not playing because maybe these guys aren't that good? And I think what you're starting to see is it was probably closer to the latter than it was the former.
For sure. For sure. Oh, that was the guy at Oregon State. Oregon State, and it's crazy, they did a really good job of him. Because I say, the Pac-12, I thought it was some of the, you know, I hate how the, you know, lead in it, because I thought it was some of the best football last year. At,
no, I mean, that was the irony was a year in which the league was probably the best it's been in the playoff era in particular. Mm-hmm. It's like it was all for naught. But, I mean, Washington goes to the title game. Oregon was a good team all year. Oregon State was a very good team. And then word gets out that their coach has taken the Michigan State job.
Yeah.
And that last game looked as such. I mean, you still had Caleb at USC. And, like, yeah, they were bad.
Right.
But, I mean, they were still something to watch.
They were ranked. Well, I think Washington State was ranked at one point last
Wazoo
year.
Wazoo had a pretty good year.
Yeah, it was like six teams, I remember. They were, yeah. So Pac-12 was pretty good.
And Cal went to a bowl game. Like, they had as good as it was the healthiest the league had been on the field in a very long time, and it was all for naught.
Boy.
But I think the other thing that kind of stands out about Saturday is you realize, I don't think it's false hope with this team, because for the same reasons that we're talking about why it's probably not working with Florida State, look at who the leadership is on this team. It's a fourth-year quarterback that's basically had all his receivers there. It's a defense that's largely been here. I know they've supplemented with a few portal guys, but it's guys that have been here. And, like, to me, that's kind of what you're looking for with it. Like, it's an older team. Those guys are playing well. Like, that's kind of what, like, that's all you can ask for as a coach. Like, those are the teams that usually have great seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The thing about the portal, but even before the portal, outside of what Cal was doing, being older was what most coaches want to do. They want to get older, stay older. That's what all coaches would tell. I mean, of course, you would have to have talent. So I think we're in a pretty good spot. I think after that win, we're probably the favorite to win the lead. And I think Memphis is about to have a really special season. And I mean, just think about this. We win this league. We potentially go undefeated, and we go a game or two in the playoffs. I mean, that's remarkable.
I mean, you can't ask for anything.
No, you can't ask.
And, like, I understand, in the end of the day, like, do I really think whether or not the football team makes the playoff is going to be a deciding factor of whether or not they got an ACC bid or they got a Big 12 bid? It's like, no, that's not really how these things have worked. At the same time, it doesn't hurt, and it helps, like, to be in the forefront of the conversation. And now, to the point where, like, my other big overreaction was, I know Northern Illinois is still undefeated, and they've got a Notre Dame win, and then Notre Dame thrashed Purdue, you know, after losing to you and I. But they're still not even going to be the favorite to win their league. And that's the other thing. You got to win the conference to get the playoff bid.
In one of these conferences,
yes.
Anyway.
To me, the biggest remaining threat to Memphis in this season is themselves.
Because Avalanche State just had a bad loss last week, right? They was one of the favorites.
So Boise loses to Oregon last week.
Didn't App State lose?
App State got throttled Clemson 2 weeks ago.
Okay, but that's out of
And then Liberty has not looked great, and they've still got to play. They're going to have to play East Carolina and App State, as well as their, and go undefeated in their league. And then they're also going to have the reality of there has to be, like, no other real option for Liberty to get in after what Oregon did to them in that bowl game. But look at it this way. So whatever the ESPN FPI. Here are the remaining games. At Navy, 75% chance to win. As we already know, they opened, I think, as an 11-point favorite. It's down to 9, but whatever. It's a two-score game spread. MTSU next week, 93.8% chance of winning. At USF, 52% chance of winning. North Texas, 87.2% chance of winning. Charlotte, 94.1% chance of winning. UTSA, 77.9% chance of winning. And that number's only getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That is at UTSA. I should note that. Because they... Turns out Frank Harris might have been the reason why that team was so good for so long. maybe not the coaching staff. Rice is 86% chance of winning. UAB, 83.9% chance of winning. And then at Tulane, right now they would be an underdog, according to ESPN, in that game. But you're at the point now where Memphis's all of these odds have flipped in favor of Memphis since this summer, and that's just through three games. And so, to me, now you're at the point where you've got to avoid one of the hardest things to do in college sports is you get the big win. What happens the next week?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you're going on the road, and you're going against an entirely different offense. You're going against a triple offense. By the way, Navy's running tempo. It's very confusing. Like, they're running out of the gun, too, and so, like, it's a different look from Navy than we're used to seeing, but, like, it's a game where you've just got to go, and it doesn't matter how, you got to come out of there with one more point, because I think that is, in college sports, that is one of the toughest things to do. What happens right after the big win?
Yeah, that, and I'm going to tell you the second thing, Jeffrey. Right after a big win, you kind of lower your guard.
Yep.
Secondly, I know in basketball, but I feel like football, too, I feel like playing on the road anywhere is kind of tough because
in football, yeah,
and in basketball it really is too. Because unlike the NFL and things of this nature, where not NFL is crunk, the students and the fans are so, like, nobody thought Colorado State would be Colorado, but did you see how crunk the Colorado State fans are? And I don't think they didn't want that rivalry much. I think people say it's a rivalry, but the Colorado States are still diehard, and my granddad and great-granddad and I'm finna represent for, Colorado State. Same thing with this. You're going on the road, and you just had a big win. And I always feel like them tricky offenses,
yes,
unless you go and smack them in the mouth. If I'm on it right, Jeffrey, Navy kind of do a little funky offense like I used to say G-Tech was doing.
Paul Johnson was at Navy. And they went to Georgia Tech. And so they were running that triple option.
Okay, so it's in the same family.
So now they're still an option team,
mm-hmm,
but it is a different look than what we're used to seeing, which is like they're gonna go from the gun some. They're throwing it a little bit more than they have. I mean, it's going to be a tough test because it's a very different challenge. Basically, what Memphis knew defensively last week was if we can make DJ have to beat us with his arm, we're going to have a pretty good chance. The main thing was you had to be able to stop the run and make them have to try and throw the football, and they were able to do that. Well, now you're going up against a team that knows how to run it and whatnot. Like, are they going to be able to – they're going to present a different challenge. But I definitely think, especially in college football, I think even more so than the NFL, there's a few places in the NFL that have, like, Kansas City always gets hyped up as a big atmosphere, Seattle – but for the most part, like, think about this. When you have teams that go on the road and they call into the quarterback helmet, the coach to player, we're not seeing a lot of NFL teams are like, I can't hear. Like, yeah. I mean, for God's sakes, in week one, there were so many Steelers fans at the Falcons-Steelers game that the Falcons started going on silent count because there were so many Steelers fans making a noise. But, like, so it's still like a half an app. But when you go on the road in college, man, it's like everybody's geeked up. And then the other thing about it is now the more you win, the more you become the game that everybody else is going, all right, like this, you're now becoming the hunted. And how do you handle that aspect of it?
It's tough. It is really tough. I think the average fan wouldn't realize it. And not to put pressure on them, Jeff. With that being said, the power offense is really, really difficult and cute, but we must stay disciplined, and we must win,
and
we must
tackle,
and we must go into the Tulane game undefeated. Because after this game, I'm not trying to be funny, Jeff. Now, granted, you still got to get out there and play. But I don't know too many other teams where you have that many 90 and 80-some percent and 70-some percent chance of winning. I mean, I wish I had some percentages on winning in life, Jeff. I mean, it sounds...
I mean, you're basically going to be a two-touchdown favorite just about every game.
So you got to get out there and get it done at that point, Jeff. We know it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. It's the highest level of college athlete, highest level of college football, you know, outside of the Power Five, but they still high-level guys. And so they have to get it done. And I feel like with what Memphis been through, I think that staff going to have them ready because I think they're saying the same thing we're saying. And granted, it's easier said than done because they're kids and they're hyping. Everybody's kissing they butt. I mean, I might want to walk through the UC today. It's probably so crunk over there, University of Memphis, but they still have to get disciplined and get it done.
No, Jeff said he was perusing Facebook when he was writing his column, and you just realize, like, there's nothing better as a fan than the big win. He said there was one woman that had watched the game three times already, you know, was too nervous really to watch it live, but then when you know your team wins, there's nothing better than here's the old replay. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just go and you reliving it. It's like, oh, wonder if we hit the play this time. Like, spoiler alert, we still do. And to me, like, that's what they have in front of them. They now are, like, to me, it's like I think they really do control their own destiny. And if you can run the table, I think you're going to be a playoff team. I get that there are other teams that are going to have a claim. But the way that the season's going to play out, it's just, to me, it's unlikely that Northern Illinois goes undefeated. You've already got a leg up on Boise. And, yeah, UNLV had a big win against Kansas, but, like, only one of those teams, is only going to be the threat because you got to win the league. And so now,
for sure,
it now becomes, are you going to be able to avoid the stumbles that we see in college football? Can you win your clunkers? And to me, it's like they've now put themselves in position to where you can dream as big as you want, but now it's up to them and go and do it on the field, because I don't really think there's going to be that Tulane game is going to be tough. And I think the South Florida game in a couple of weeks is going to be tough because it's on the road and it's going to be a Friday night. South Florida's coming off a bye. That's going to be the big challenges. When you are somebody's target, how are you going to be able to respond?
Oh, no, you just spoke on it. And I will say this, Tulane has a chance to also be in a sneaky game, because I watched them against Oklahoma over the weekend, and the first half, it felt like Oklahoma was dominating them. But the second half, it was very competitive at one point. I was watching it. Like, Tulane was like...
That final score is misleading. Like, they end up winning by 15, but they had the ball with a chance to go take the lead.
Yeah, they got back in it. Yeah. And I remember at one point in the first half, am I wrong, Jeff? It felt like Oklahoma was finna
They got out to the hot start, and you were like, at least I was thinking, because that wasn't a game I was betting, but I have to do like a picks column for my old boss. And I'm sitting there thinking right off the bat, it's like, oh, this was the trap game where everyone was thinking, yo, you should take Tulane in the points. And it looked like they were going to run them out of the building, and then no. I mean, and that's the other thing. They played Kansas State, who looks like one of the best teams in the Big 12. They have a touchdown called on the field. They review it. I think it was right. I don't think he got it in, but they review it. They take the points off the board, and then they end up not scoring. But that would have gone to overtime, likely. And so they are – I think if you made me say who is the best team in the league other than Memphis, to me, I don't even hesitate. It's Tulane. But now Tulane's also in this mode of, okay, you've lost two games. They're non-conference games, but it's going to be really hard for them to get in the playoff conversation. Like, are they going to be a team that just wants to ruin somebody's dream? Or what we've seen in college football is like, hey, man, when your season starts, like, getting, you know, the goals that you had are no longer achievable, like, we see teams kind of go the wrong way. They do have a new coach, so maybe that helps a little bit, but I mean, you know, that if you're going to be a playoff team, you're going to have to go and win one tough road game. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, that's the game. And then if you win it, you're hosting the championship game. You're either playing them again or you're playing someone else probably that you played on the road again. It's probably going to be USF. But that's the other thing, man. When you look at the league in totality, it's like, oh boy, this is a league you better go win.
Yeah. Jeff, I kind of see that in a slightly different way. I'm a little, because we do this, look at, you know, Penny's schedule this year. We do this sometimes, even high school coaches is in the weak league. I think Tulane might be the most war-ready out of everybody. Because what you you go.
Roster-wise, I think it's the best roster.
Yeah, and then just ready. You go play two juggernauts like an SEC team, a big back-to-back. They kind of knew they was going to lose. But I think sometime coaches like, let's get them prepared for what we're about to go through. And so at the end of the day, I think when you get to the end, even let's say they beat Memphis, hope not, and they win the league, I think the committee would still look at, like, if those two teams right there are in the top 15, Kansas State and Oklahoma, I think they look at, you know, because I think you should get points, too, even if you don't win, of having a strong schedule, because some people – make weak schedules just because of it. You know what I mean? And I kind of respect guys who do that.
No, I think that there's a chance. It would also, though, they with their two losses, they need help. Like, they're going to need either Boise to take another loss, or you need maybe Boise beats UNLV in the regular season, then UNLV beats, you know, Boise in the championship game. And, like, you kind of have to start playing where you need other variables to be in your favor. But with Memphis, like, they don't have to do any of that. Mm. Like, now it's literally just you go and win the games, you're going to be there.
You control it, yeah.
Was there anything else from the game itself that you wanted to talk about?
No, we covered it. I just think the whole town was hype. I think, like you say, our quarterback, offense, defense, everybody was well coached. I think it was a great day for Memphis football. It was on ESPN. It had national attention.
Band sounded great.
Sound really good. Whoever that bass guy was, those flutes, we won all the way around. You know, Florida State's supposed to have this great band. And, you know, I'm happy for the city and me being a Miami Hurricane fan. I love it. I mean, I love Mike Norvell, but I love seeing Florida State, you know, get beat. So I killed a lot of stones, a lot of birds with one stone that day.
Yeah, I think you're now on the point with the U. I think Clemson's not as bad as we think they were against Georgia.
Mm.
I don't know. I watched the Ball State game, and again, it's Ball State. I'm just closer and closer to thinking, like, I've always called Cristobal, he's the boy that cried wolf, because I always keep hearing, this is the team, whether it was at Oregon, this is the team, this is the team, this is the team, and they've always just disappointed at some point.
Mm.
I think this might be the team.
Yeah.
I think this time he's actually telling the truth, because it just looks so easy right now. And then on both sides of the ball, they're really good. And Cam Ward is
– he looks great, balling, coach. Dude. Compared to look at the other – the quarterback, we just talked about at Florida State. Some people didn't think he could go either way with Ward, though. Like, you know what I mean? You talked and friends.
That's the thing about Ward. There is bad Cam Ward out there. I think the difference, though, now is some bad Cam Ward was oftentimes when he was at Washington State and he was kind of having to play hero ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he doesn't really have to do that. And the other thing, I mean, that's the other – Florida State tried to get Cam Ward. They lost. Miami got him. And so it's like – it is that one – there's always that weird reality with football. It's like, what if Florida State gets Cam Ward and then Miami either winds up having to take DJ or someone else, like, are we talking differently? Because quarterback play just changes everything. But lo and behold, here we are. The only other thing I was going to say is if you – to me, it's like – You're now at the point where, like, I'm trying to think what's the right way to say it. It's like, I am still a little curious of if the defense is as good as it looked Saturday, or if defending Florida State is that easy. Because we're now, that's the third state team that's made Florida State's offense look that way. But they held them to fewer points than anybody else has.
After about a week.
Yeah.
So they were more prepared.
Yeah.
And now I think first of all, defenses right now in college and NFL, you're going to give up some big plays, right?
Yes.
So, but I do think when the ball is thrown, the way they're getting off, you know, they're getting off their blocks. They're making, you know, at times open tackles. You know, they're head hunting. I'm saying in a within the rules. We're not talking about targeting anything. You know, I just like to see guys when guys are fast and hidden. Like for a defense, I like to see guys that are just fast and aggressive and hidden and knocking people. And I feel like they are. Like if it was basketball, they're rotating their butt off to get to tackles. And I think the energy is there.
I think the thing that's undeniable, this team clearly looks faster on defense than they have before. So I'm with you on that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little, what would the Pac-12 situation look like for Memphis? We'll talk about that with Munns, maybe talk a little hoops as well. When he comes back, or when we come back, he'll join us next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There are roughly 1.1 million people in Memphis, 365 days a year, so there are approximately 3,000 birthdays every day here in the Memphis area. And if you're thinking about something for someone's special birthday, think about Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's the number one place to buy diamonds because you get more choices. And also, if you're thinking about getting engaged, it's a great spot for engagement rings as well because you can do so risk-free and easily with peace of mind with the mint-to-be guarantee. That means if you want to do a custom-made engagement ring like we did for my wife, you can
have 365 days to return it at the full purchase price, no questions asked, and they're only doing that because they know you're going to love the ring that you end up coming up with. You can also get free ring sizing for life at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They also have jewelry spa service for life. Take advantage of that. Your ring will look brand new. You can also ask her now and pay later with great financing options like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, three locations, South Haven, Bartlett, and the new showroom at Perkins Extended, or you can always shop online at rijewelers.com. Jason Munns, of course, is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal, joins us each and every Monday on the program. Munns, what are we listening to?
CLO, Jeffrey, Electric Light Orchestra, Don't Bring Me Down.
Jeff Beck, right?
Jeff Lynn.
Lynn, sorry, yeah, Lynn. Jeff Beck's different, yeah.
Yes, Jeff Lynn, frequent Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers collaborator. Well, actually, just Tom Petty. He was, whenever Tom Petty would do a record without the Heartbreakers, it would always be Jeff Lynn producing, unless it was Wildflowers, which that was Rick Rubin. But, yeah, him and Jeff Lynn were tight. He was one of the Traveling Wilburys.
There you go. All right, I wanted to ask you about this because right now, I mean, we don't have a ton of basketball, thankfully. We don't have a lot of basketball to talk about. What do you think is going to go into the decision for the University of Memphis with the Pac-12? Like, I know they don't have an invitation yet, but it does seem like if they put out the feelers that they were interested, that certainly they would be approached to some degree or another. But when you look at it from a decision process, what all do you think the school's going to look at?
Well, I think the school's decision is going to be largely financially driven. And I'm not sure that it's even close. I'm not sure that there's really even a close second. I was actually just talking about this with my colleague Jonah Dillon on our Tiger Football podcast that will drop in the morning at commercialappeal.com. But I just think that it's going to come down to like whether or not it's going to be enough money. And of course we don't know that yet. You know, like the Pac-12 doesn't know how much money it's going to get in whatever media rights deal it signs. But if, you know, I think Memphis gets what, 8 to 10 million roughly from the American in media rights money right now. Would 15 million a year be enough for Memphis to make the jump? Would 18 million be enough if 15 million wasn't?
Well, and then there's the exit fees and whatnot. Like, who's covering that? You know,
who's more than just the travel costs.
Yeah.
When you're playing games against, when you're having to go to Boise and you're having to go to Corvallis and you're having to go to Fresno and San Diego, like, and not just for football, like these are all sports. I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to come down to money. Like, we've seen the reports from over the weekend and even into last week where it's like the Pac-12 has interest in Memphis. Well, of course the Pac-12 has interest in Memphis. The Pac-12 has kind of already come out and said, you know, the athletic directors and the presidents and stuff have come out and said that their goal is to be the top, what is now a group of six. Like they want to be the top, the best of the rest. Like they want to make their conference the cream of the crop outside of the power conferences. And so of course they're going to want Memphis. Like that's obvious, but it's going to come down, in my opinion, it's going to come down to like, it's going to be Memphis's decision. Is it going to be make financial sense for Memphis to accept that invitation if it comes? That remains to be seen, obviously. We don't know if an invitation has been extended, and we don't know if Memphis would accept it if it has been or if it's going to be. Or I guess the other option would be a little bit of a risk. You know, it's obvious. Like, Memphis has made no bones about it. In Ed Scott's introductory press conference, the only two conferences he mentioned when asked about conference realignment were the Big 12 and the ACC. Like, that's where Memphis's sights are set. That is what Memphis is aspiring toward. Is the Pac-12 that? No, it isn't. It wouldn't be. Like, I don't care who the Pac-12 gets or what happens to the ACC or Big 12. You know, I think Memphis's aspirations, they've made their aspirations very clear. And it just, as we sit here today, I do not see a scenario where whatever the Pac-12 does from here on out, I don't see it matching what Memphis's aspirations are. And so that's kind of what my take is on the whole Pac-12 discussion.
I think the other thing that's interesting is, are they going to be able to know, like, I know you have media consultants that come in and say, if you have these brands, right, that the TV would be worth this, but it's like, are they really going to try to solicit a television deal without having all of the known members? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so like, at a certain degree, are you almost kind of having to make a leap of faith to even make the decision?
Yes. Like, whatever schools are jumping, or whatever schools have jumped and whatever schools jump in the future, there will be an element of that. Yeah, you're gonna have projections, and you're gonna have analysts who tell you this is the ballpark that you're gonna be in terms of like estimates for money, financial estimates and everything. But you know, I don't think anybody can say with 100% certainty that this is exactly what everybody's gonna get. If it looks this way. So I don't know. It just doesn't seem, you know, because it's not like just talking in hypotheticals here. It's not like Memphis can be like, okay, the Pac-12 is the only invitation we have and we like what we're hearing, so let's do it. It's not like, like, what happens if the ACC or the Big 12 comes knocking on your door 6 months later, even a year later? Like,
yeah, have you entered into an agreement? Like, have you? Because I mean, every report that I've seen has said that, you know, the Pac-12 will require members to sign a grant of rights, which means you're kind of locked in unless somebody's going to foot the bill for you, and that's not what we've really been seeing.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, people floated the idea of Cal and Stanford maybe going back, potentially getting back into a situation with the Pac-12, but they've already made an agreement with their next stop. So that's my point. Like, if Memphis did agree because that's the only offer on the table today, and there is no guarantee. As we sit here today, there does not seem to be any guarantee whatsoever that Memphis would get an invite from the ACC or the Big 12. Like, do you take that? Do you take the Pac-12's invitation, not knowing what could come later? And then, because, like, my hesitation, if I'm thinking like Memphis, is like, well, what if the ACC does come knocking? And you know, a year before we've accepted our thing and we can't go back on it. So now we're in the Pac-12 for the foreseeable future. And we could, but if we'd have just waited a little bit, we could have gone to the ACC. Now, I do understand the inverse of that. Like, you got to go with what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but is it, would it be worth the move just for, say, $5 extra million a year, not to mention the travel, you know, all the increases in travel and all that other stuff? I don't know. I don't, remains to be seen what Memphis is going to do. I'm still hung up on the fact that Memphis has made it very clear what they're, like, where they want to be, what they see themselves as. And it's clear that they do not see themselves as simply the best group of five, group of six, one of the best Group of Five, Group of Six programs in the country. They see themselves as deserving of a seat at a bigger table, and that's just where, like, it doesn't match up. It, you know, accepting an invitation to the Pac-12 does not match up with what you've already said you feel like you are.
How much, like, is it possible this is even, like, a dumber argument than we even think? Because, like, we're coming up with, like, realistic business scenarios, and, like, these are all quite, like, at a certain point, like, money, like, you got to pay for certain things. Like, I understand all that. I do think it's going to be a better league than what you're currently in, and I think in both sports. I think it's a better football league, and I think it's a better basketball league. Is it possible you just kind of eventually you get to the point, like you said, like you're waiting for these offers that aren't there, but you do have an offer to at least be in a better league, and so you're going to go do that? Do you think it ever gets to that point?
Now that I'm 100% with you on that one. You know, Boise, San Diego State.
I think UNLV, so most everyone was surprised. I know everyone was surprised that UNLV was not announced, but apparently the state of Nevada is operating their colleges like we operated 15 years ago, which is you're not, they told the Pac-12, you're not taking UNLV and not taking Nevada. And they're like, well, okay. But most people I know that I trust believe UNLV is going to be included in this. It's just a, it remains to be seen if they're going to have to take Nevada too or whatnot. Like, they got to get through some of the political climate, but you're already talking about a better basketball league. I mean, as much as I gripe and complain how the Mountain West gets way too many teams in every single year, well, they're getting in teams. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's only going to help you. Like, I do wonder if, like, at a certain point, like, do you just start asking that question?
Now that, again, like, I'm 100% on the same page with you there. That, you know, like people, you know, Memphis fans don't want to be associated with Charlotte and with Rice and with Tulsa and Temple. Like, I get that. Like, they do not want to be associated with those programs, those schools. Like, they would much rather be associated with Boise and San Diego State, potentially, as you mentioned, UNLV and Colorado State. You know, so, I mean, I do get that, but for argument's sake and playing devil's advocate and all that stuff, like, yes, at the end of the day, those are much better brands. There would be much better, more like intrigue and interest and excitement around, you know, having those teams on your schedules, but you know, is it that much of a step up? Like, is it? I mean, I guess it is.
Sure. If you go to that league, it for sure becomes the default. Unless like chaos happens, that's going to be it's going to get treated like the AAC used to get treated in football, where their champ, something's going to have to be weird for their champion to not be the playoff rep. And then I do think you are going to a basketball league that for sure is a multi-bid league, which I don't know if you can say the same about, you know, the AAC right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, from that standpoint, it would make sense. But you got to weigh everything. And you've said ACC and Big 12 pretty much, you know, for the last year, 2 years, whatever it's been, 3 years. You know, that's been your Shangri-La, for a long time now. And it's like, you know, I don't get it twisted. Like, I get it. Like, you know, when it comes down to, you know, bottom line time, sometimes you got to go with the bird in the hand, then you know, the alternative, then rolling the dice and risk just missing out completely and whatever. So it's very, very pivotal times right now for the University of Memphis, and no easy decisions for anybody involved.
I think maybe that's kind of the other question. It seems like what would be best is if you could kind of have your cake and eat it too. Can you stall? Can you wait and see if you know, is there going to be like a deadline of, hey, you know, if you're coming, you got to come now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the big question for me. It's like, how long is Memphis comfortable waiting it out in the AAC as currently constructed?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But if you believe the Oregon State Athletic Director, they want this stuff done soon, very, very soon. He's already come out on the record. I forget his name off the top of my head, but he's the athletic director at Oregon State. He's already come out and said, like, we want this done ASAP. We do not want to sit around and wait. So, you know, if Memphis is going to be a part of that, it's going to happen, you would think, based off his comments, you would think it would happen pretty quickly. So, but that's a good point. Like, can they stall them? Can they, you know, to see how long they can go without having to make a decision, or see what might shake loose elsewhere? Would they be comfortable? How long would they be comfortable staying in the American? I don't know. But again, it's a very, very interesting time for the school, and whatever happens, it's going to be one of those things that, like, you know, when you're looking at like an annotated timeline, it's going to be one of those things that's like a big bullet point is this moment on the timeline and in the course of the history of the school.
And I mean, like, I always wonder, it's like the ability to sell tickets. Like, it feels like much of Memphis's basketball ticket strategy is, all right, we got to beef up the non-con schedule to try and get some sales there. But, like, I think it'd be a whole heck of a lot easier to sell tickets if you got more games that people would actually want to go to.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. You know, bringing in Boise, which, I mean, we should note that, I mean, yes, you're talking about San Diego State, which had the Final Four run a couple of seasons ago, or was it last season?
Not this past tournament, but the tournament before.
Right. So you're talking about that, but you're also talking about Boise State, which has never won an NCAA tournament game ever in its history. You know, but they've been better. They're in a good place, Boise State. They're in a decent place as a program. So I don't know. I mean, you know, Colorado State's, you know, I don't know. I could take it.
Well, I mean, they're all the problem is they're all just Mountain West teams. Like, when I think about it, it's like they all kind of have the same thing. It's like they always show up in the NCAA tournament. I always bet against them, and they usually are one and done. But they're in the tournament,
right? They are, and they're not. You know, they're not.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.